I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We know this is your favorite segment. We just admit it. So give the people what they want. It's time for the barbershop. That's where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. This week, to help us say goodbye, the barbershop guys have all made a trip to our Washington, D.C. studios. They're all here with us. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week, our writer, Jimmy Israel, Arsalan Iftikhar, founder of themuslimguide.com, healthcare consultant, contributor to National Review Online, Neil Minkoff, who's with us for our previous politics segment. He's still with us. And Pablo Torre, senior writer with ESPN. Take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Hey, fellas.
Oh, it's good to see you guys.
Look so much better in person.
I'm imagining how you guys Wait a second. Yo. Toto Ray called. He wants his pocket square back. Hey, welcome to the shop. How we doing?
Hey, good.
DC, what's good? All right.
And that's the last happy moment we'll have with this topic.
Yeah, I know, right?
OMG.
Yeah,
this is
a little deep because...
You can't close a barbershop, Calvin.
Well, nice. Hashtag movie reference. All right, so let's bring it... But, okay, there's something really serious to talk about. We got to talk about Ray Rice or Stephen Smith or Whoopi Goldberg, any way you want to mix it up, because they're all mixed up these days. Now, let's focus on Rice. You know, the Baltimore Ravens running back received a 2-game suspension stemming from a domestic violence incident. Now, people may remember a video surfaced in February of Rice dragging his unconscious then-fiance out of an elevator. Reportedly, they got into a fight, and he knocked her out. That's, ay, caramba. Yesterday, Rice made a public apology to his wife and fans. Talk about dealing
with... The fiancé is now the wife. Just wanted to clarify that this is the same person.
Right. Yeah. Wife and fans talked about dealing with the consequences. Can we drop that clip, please?
You know, the pain that I'm talking about living with is that... is waking up every day, and my daughter's 2 years old now. You know, I have a little girl who's very smart, very intelligent. And one day she's going to know the power of Google. And me have to explain that to her. You know, what happened that night?
Oh, boy. Thank you. Despite the apologies, critics are all over this saying the suspension is too light. Pablo, P-Dog, you're our sports insider, man.
Allegedly.
I mean, do you think it's too light?
I do, because Roger Goodell, one of his main planks as commissioner of the NFL, has been instituting what you might call a justice system, right? And so part and parcel of that is the context of other punishments that he's levied. And if you smoke pot, you get 4 games. If you stomp on a teammate on a field, you get more than what Ray Rice got in those 2 games. So to me, if your justice system is to be worth anything, it needs to reflect the values you hold most dear. And if you're giving Ray Rice 2 games for uppercutting his fiance, now wife, in an elevator, that's sending a very disturbing message about what is actually important to the NFL and the commissioner and to this justice system, which is supposed to govern his constituency. That's really problematic for me.
Dr. Neil, do you buy Rice's apology?
Sure, but what difference does it make? I mean, yeah, I believe that he has been called out. He was on every media outlet there is. It's an incredibly disturbing piece of video to watch. Mm. I'm sure he is contrite about it, and maybe some good can come out of it, but I'm not... I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, the NFL needs to decide if they're policing what happens on the field or off the field. And if they're going to police what happens off the field, to Pablo's point, they have to be more consistent and they have to take knocking out somebody more importantly than smoking a joint.
Okay, well, here's what's kind of got me mixed up. ESPN's First Take host, Stephen A. Smith, weighed in on the situation last Friday. He got suspended, too, for these comments. Drop that clip.
We also have to make sure that we learn as much as we can about elements of provocation. Not that there's real provocation, but the elements of provocation, you got to make sure that you address it, because what we've got to do is do what we can to try to prevent the situation from happening in any way. And I don't think that's broached enough.
Now, Smith was blasted by some folks who said he was blaming domestic violence victims. And then Whoopi Goldberg, the brilliant Whoopi Goldberg, stuck up for him on The View. Let's drop that clip.
You have to teach women. Do not live with this idea that men have the chivalry thing still with them. Right. Don't assume that that's still in place.
Right. You know,
so don't be surprised.
guys, if you hit a man and he hits you back, right? You hit somebody, they hit you back.
Okay. Wow. Thank you for that clip. All right. Before we go further, how many people on this panel have been the victim of domestic violence? Okay, I've been the victim of domestic violence. It's in my book, The Denzel Principle, available where better books are sold.
Seamless.
Seriously.
Subtle.
I've been in a situation where I've been attacked by women in small spaces, in cars, in elevators, and none of you know what you'll do until you're in that situation. What did I do? It just so happens I'm trained to submit. And I was able to submit those young ladies. No jokes, no shots.
What does that mean? That means
I was able to restrain them in a way to get their attention to ask. I mean, I didn't have to hit them. I was just able to restrain them in a way. I put them in a lock, like a hold.
Okay. So and what are you saying?
What I'm saying is none of us knows what we'll do in that situation until we're in that situation. And I'm not giving the ups to domestic violence. But this is what I am going to say. That nobody has the right to hit anybody, but everybody has the right to protect themselves. That's what I am going to say. Now, you've never been in a situation with a young lady that wants your attention, and the only means of communication she has is violence, then you don't know what you would do. I promise you that.
All right, go ahead, Arsalan. Why don't you have
go ahead, A-Train.
Well, the problem that I had with Stephen A. Smith's comments was the fact that, you know, to me it was the moral equivalent of when people talk about rape and say that women were, quote-unquote, asking for it, you know, based on, you know, the way they were acting or dressed or, you know, whatever. And I think that, you know, I love me some Stephen A. Smith, you know, Mario Chalmers and everything. But, you know, I think he stepped out of bounds. I think that, you know, getting back to the earlier point, it should be Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, who should be apologizing at a press conference, not Ray Rice doing it twice. I think that he was contrite about it. But I think that Stephen A. Smith was completely tone deaf in the statement that he made. And the fact that he wasn't able to apologize for it right away, he actually tried to double down on it before he apologized, shows that we still, at least within, you know, the male population here in the United States, you know, have this thing where we try to justify our actions no matter how wrong those actions are based on, you know, so-called mitigating circumstances. And I think that there are no mitigating circumstances where it's okay to knock your fiancé out in an elevator. And I think that ESPN was right to suspend Steve.
Why was he right to suspend him? You're the civil rights lawyer here, dealt with First Amendment issues, among others. So
yeah,
why would they right to suspend him? I mean, don't they pay him to say things that are provocative get people's attention?
There's a difference between provocative and completely tone-deaf and inappropriate. And, you know, people get suspended all the time for making inappropriate statements, especially, you know, those of us as public figures. If we say something that's out of line or out of bounds, I think that it's completely within their right to suspend them.
And here's why what he said was problematic, because first you start off with just the optics of the situation, right? He's saying this after this woman has been knocked out. But beyond that, if you zoom out, it's actually even more problematic, because my problem is not that there are cases where men are victims. It's the idea that this is a important plank of social policy, perhaps, that you want to advocate for, right? Because we still live in this deeply misogynistic, patriarchal society. Sports certainly is the most aggressive form of that. And so to say that we really need to worry about women provoking men seems tone deaf in terms of the societal context, in terms of history, in terms of statistics about crime. And that, to me, I mean, that is dangerous, and that's the thing that actually really enables a lot of women from escaping really abusive relationships. And to say that on air as one of the first things after the situation was terrible to me.
Neil, go ahead.
Well, and it could have been made right so easily by just changing it to, we need to teach men how not to be provoked. Right? It could be, we need to teach people who have a short temper, who are willing to respond to anything with violence, how other coping mechanisms, so they can learn not to be provoked and not to be in a situation where instead of being responsible, they're knocking somebody out.
What do you think, Jimmy?
Well, I think we don't know what happened in the elevator. I mean, isn't that right, Pablo?
But that's partly my problem with what Stephen Smith had to say. How does he know what happened in the elevator?
Yeah,
I don't know what happened in the elevator.
None of us know what happened in the elevator.
I take it you don't think he should have been suspended.
I do not believe he should have been suspended, because he was indelicate. The word provocation is problematic, because anything could be provocation. That wasn't the right word. That wasn't the right word choice. But everybody keep their hands to themselves. Children know that. A dog will bite you back if you hit it. And my I've read different accounts.
Why shouldn't he have been suspended, though? I mean, if you're saying he said something stupid and he brought discredit to the network and he caused a whole lot of huzzery that wasn't, you know, necessary and it was wrong, why shouldn't he have been suspended? Tell me why.
He should have corrected himself. I do not believe he should have been suspended. I just believe he should have said, I meant this, I said that, I'm correcting the record. That's what
I'll just tell you. Can I just have a brief moment of privilege here since I'm the only
panel?
Can I just say this? I don't understand why Stephen Smith is advising people about their domestic affairs. Mm. I'm just curious. What are his qualifications for this? And if he does have qualifications for this, then I'd like to know what they are. But it seems to me that the advice should have been to all parties. It seems to me a lot of people need help with their communication in this country.
Amen.
But if you're 6'5" and somebody else is 5'3", it seems to me you should keep your hands to yourself. Period. That's my only thought on that. I'll just take that privilege. So, listening to our barbershop roundtable, we're joined by writer Jimmy Israel, Professor Arsalan Iftikhar, healthcare consultant. He's trained as a doctor, Neil Minkoff. That's why we call him doctor. We're not
That's
making
me.
Fun of him.
Dr.
We actually
Neil.
Is one. Sports writer Pablo Torre. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. All right, let's keep it moving. We've got a political couple whose problems are on display in court, but not divorce court for a change, at least not yet. Oh. It's former Virginia Governor Bob McDonnell's corruption trial. Prosecutors say that he and his family accepted gifts and loans worth more than $150,000, everything from designer dresses, a Rolex, and cash for the daughter's wedding. Wowzers. All this from the head of a vitamin supplement company who wanted to do business with the state. I think they even got some free protein powder, Michelle. Wow.
Well, the thing that's interesting about this is that the defense lawyers for the McDonald's used their opening statements to say that they could not have been a conspiracy because the marriage was broken at the time, and that the reason that Maureen McDonald accepted all these gifts because she had a crush on the businessman in question, and so that's why I just was fascinated by this, and I'm just trying to think of a scenario where I don't even want to go
Michelle,
there.
Michelle, yeah.
Good job, Virginia.
It sounds like a Woody Allen movie in the making.
From a political standpoint, I don't know. Arsalan, what about that? Can you imagine taking that defense into court?
Yes, I can, actually. Having lived in Virginia for 10 years and growing up in Chicago, Illinois, I can, there's nothing.
Right, it's all good. It's all good.
There's literally nothing within the political or legal realm that surprises me. I actually can see that as a defense. Now, whether it's going to be a convincing defense is, obviously up to a judge to decide. But, I mean, I can understand if, Bob McDonald's trying to say that, we were unable, it was impossible for us to collude in this conspiracy because, we had a broken marriage. Anything to keep you out of jail. I mean,
just as a person who writes about politics and is sort of close to it, would you rather be known as a corrupt lawmaker or for your wife stepping out on you? I mean, how do you? Which of those scenarios do you?
I'd rather not be in jail.
Yeah, let me flip a horrible. Let me flip the horrible coin there. I have to say that if you have to choose between those two horrible choices, I think you're better off being a person with integrity whose wife stepped out on you, because then at least you're a person of integrity and maybe you can move on from that.
No, do you think he can move on from that?
No, but maybe.
All right, well, before we let you all go, I just wanted to save some time at the end because we've had a lot of fun over the years. And we just wanted to share some of those memories. So I was going to ask each of you, Jimmy, you're the kind of the OG of the barbershop.
I am the OG.
You are the OG.
Kinda.
And so you've been with us really from the beginning, really before we were still a podcast.
That's
online.
Right.
That's right. What was your favorite moment?
My favorite moment is when I kind of got the crew together with Dr. Lester Spence, who was in the house, and we did the very first barbershop. That was it. I mean, because I didn't know what we were doing, so that was my first moment, because we were learning what we were trying to figure out how this was going to sound. So that was definitely my favorite moment.
Papa, what about you?
I mean, I'll begin generally, because this is something this doesn't exist anywhere else, right? Like I keep looking for places in my life where I could see this, let alone participate in it. And these four people, the long cast of people who I've gotten the pleasure to do this with, it's been really, really, like, genuinely, sincerely fantastic. But beyond that, my favorite moment is just whenever we talk about sports predictions and Jimmy just picks the team from Cleveland. I wish there was a montage of that. It's like Super Bowl champions, Cleveland Browns. NBA, Cleveland Cavaliers.
This is how the worm turns. He might actually be right for a
change. I know.
Would have thought?
Well, I mean, exactly. LeBron heard I went back to Cleveland, so he got to come back.
Okay. Arsalan, what about you? You're the baby OG. You're kind of our second longest tenured member of the shop after Jimmy.
Having been on the show for 7 years since the beginning, on the fun side of it, the most fun aspect was giving out the Redunculus Awards, which ended up, it's to be honest, it started out as something silly and dumb, but, you know, has become a staple in my shtick. But, you know, echoing Pablo's...
It's still silly and dumb. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be mean about it, but anyway, go ahead.
And Michelle Martin gets the last Redunculus Award ever.
Sorry.
No, but in seriousness, you know, again, echoing Pablo's point, you know, the fact that, you know, we can have a forum where, you know, four males of color who are journalists and commentators can come together, you know, in our media landscape, which, you know, sadly is predominantly lily white. You know, this was a safe haven for some of us to talk about issues that the world and the country are talking about, but from a vantage point that many Americans never had the opportunity to be exposed to. And that's why I think that, you know, for many people, for many of our fans, the Barbershop will live forever, and it definitely will live forever in our hearts as well.
Oh, my God. Really, bro?
You know, what about you? You're kind of a relative newbie. You've only been with us a couple of years.
Yes.
So what about you?
This is such an unusual place. Honestly, when I first came in for the very first time for my first haircut, I was a little worried about being the...
You got to fade that first time.
I did, which was really weird. I was a little worried about how I would fit in, you know? But this has been... There's a group of us up here, and there are times we don't agree on anything, but we like each other and we respect each other, and this is a place where we can do that without turning into a screaming match and turning into like World Wrestling Federation cartoon
or
antics.
Fox News.
Dr. Neil, yeah, welcome to the barbershop,
okay.
Bro.
All right.
So it's been really welcoming, and that to me has been the biggest part.
Neil Minkoff is a healthcare consultant. He is trained as a doctor, Dr. Neil. He's a contributor to the National Review. Jimmy Israel's a writer. You can find his blog at jimmyisrael.com. Pablo Torre is a senior writer for ESPN. Arslan Iftikhar is founder of themuslimguide.com and an adjunct professor of religious studies at DePaul University. Thank you all so much for today and for every day that
you've
been with us.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you. Thanks to you.
Peace, love, and barbershop.
And thanks to you, Jimmy.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you, Jimmy.
You're welcome, America.
Coming up, another signature discussion of the program. We get some inspiration from Faith Matters. That's just ahead on Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.